What if it rained food? What if Earth was a cube? What if we had nine lives? What if bits could fly? It's absurd. If money grew on trees, if we didn't have these, if we walked through life slightly magnetical, it's absurd. Absurd hypotheticals.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Absurd Hypotheticals, the show where we overthink dumb questions so you don't have to. I'm your host, Marcus Lehner, and I'm joined here today by Chris Yee and Ben Storms. Say hi, guys.
Hey, I'm Chris.
Hey, I'm Ben.
I'm excited for this week because we are doing a lightning round.
Lightning round.
Where we're going to be answering a whole bunch of questions that we have not prepared, but it should be lots of fun anyway, and we're just going to blow through them lickety-split. So before we get into it, I did come across a fun news story while I was browsing. So I'm reading about this dog. His name is Train, and he is a Chesapeake Bay Retriever. And he was supposed to be a drug-sniffing dog, but he failed out of his narcotics school because he was way too hyper. So the reason he was so hyper is that he basically just would go around and just, like, instead of finding, like, the drugs he was supposed to, he would just go around and smell, like, any poop he could find from, like, other dogs or whatever. So now someone's like, I can make the best of this. So this conservation biologist, Karen DiMatteo, are using this dog, and instead of drug sniffing, the dog is poop sniffing, and they're trying to use the dog to find endangered species by finding them via their poop.
That is wonderful.
You can play into his strength. It's like a wonderful message for people.
Exactly. Find your niche, people.
Yeah.
Find your niche, even if that's just smelling exotic poops.
I think I read somewhere that, like, in Broadway, they're having Broadway auditions. And there was someone, like, pooping in the audition room. They didn't know who it was.
Interesting.
But it was, like, a serial pooper.
What? Ew.
There have been rogue poopers in places before where, like, there'll be a town where there'll be some person who just goes and poops, like, in public. And they just keep finding poop and trying to figure out who this rogue pooper is.
What would your rogue pooping persona be, Ben?
I really need a rhyme. This needs a rhyme in it for it to be good.
Oh, I got one. It's going to be a double wordplay on Serial Pooper, where I'm going to be Captain Hunch.
Ooh, Captain Hunch is good.
I mean, do any of you watch American Vandal? Because the second season of that is based on basically this premise, and the guy is called the Turd Burglar.
Turd Burglar is very good.
I like that.
If you oh, God. If you are pooping mostly on school property, you could be Brown versus the Board of Education.
Yes. It's a long title, but I love it. Chris, that leaves you. What's yours?
I have to Google poop synonyms.
Can you not think of any poop words?
Not good enough. Not good enough ones.
Crocodile Dung D.
There we go. Nice. All right. I think we've had more fun, and we have lots of questions to get to, so... Let's dive right in. Oh God, this is a terrible follow up to our poop intro topic.
Oh no!
Yeah, we have a list in front of us of all the questions.
And the first one is, what if everything was edible?
I would argue that everything is edible if you try hard enough already.
What exactly is the definition of edible?
I think edible means you have to be able to digest it and not die if you eat it.
Fair enough.
I mean, obviously, this is probably a good thing.
I think this solves global hunger pretty straight up, right?
Yeah.
The problem is if you have the munchies, like...
Yeah, you could easily just, like, eat... If you're too lazy, you could just eat your house accidentally.
Like, yeah, I was just, like sitting here at my desk, and my desk is, like a dark wood kind of chocolate covered, and I could definitely see just, like, sitting here and just snapping off a chunk of my desk and nomming down on it while we do this podcast.
Yeah, because usually when you're snacking and you feel like a bag of something, you'll just eat, like, unconsciously, and then the bag will be empty. You didn't even know it. So if you do that with, like, your furniture or something like that, it's pretty dangerous.
Possibly. I say that we solve global hunger, but are we going to hit a point where we start eating the world faster than...
Yeah, it's probably not sustainable.
Yeah, eventually the world's going to become more and more poop, much like our actual planet.
Well, how does that poop circle work right now?
Well, you have the poop, and then you have the bacteria and the fungi and all those.
It goes back into the soil eventually, right?
Yeah, the decomposers take care of the poop.
But, like, are we going to outstrip the ability to convert it?
I don't think so. The planet's very big, guys. It's very big.
It is really big.
There's only so many of us.
But if we solve world hunger, then there can be more of us. we can grow exponentially. This is a problem, guys. This isn't a solution at all. This is the end of us.
You know who's gonna have a tough time? Scavenging animals. Like, all the animals that, like, only eat, like, once every few months but can eat, like, 18 times their body weight, and don't have the instinct to stop eating.
Yeah, that's a problem.
Like, even my dog, like, she would eat just insane amount of food. Like, we had, like, a full large pizza, and the dog just ate the whole pizza.
Yeah.
Oh, God, wait.
Dogs tend to just eat anything that's in front of them that's edible.
Wait, no. We're burying the lead here, guys. You saying that just opened all, blew it wide open, Marcus. Because it's not just that we can eat anything. Everything can eat anything. And availability of food is all that holds, like, pests and stuff in check.
Oh, shit.
We are going to get eaten by pests.
Actually, yeah. No, Ben, I now agree with Ben, because we would, if everything is edible, we would turn our entire, like, surface of the world into biomass. Like, it would just all be stuff.
Yep.
And then it would be, like, animals and bugs, and then poop-covered animals and bugs, and it's going to be nasty and gross.
Yep. Ugh. It's not good. So, yeah, this is actually very bad.
Counterintuitive. The end.
All right, here's a tricky one. This one I'm interested in seeing. Next question is, how would you outsmart Scooby and the gang?
Hmm.
So how do they usually solve mysteries?
They take someone's mask off.
So here's a tricky thing. So the narrative arc of Scooby-Doo is basically the person does just about everything right. And then, like, Shaggy or Scooby will, like, trip on something and accidentally knock, like, the fake facade of your haunted amusement park over, and suddenly be like, oh, they're just using a lamp and some shadows.
It's like trip over the wire.
Yeah,
like, unplug it.
Like, trip over the wire or something.
So clearly you you use a lot of screws to mount your, like, projectors and stuff.
Make everything baby proof.
Yes.
Yeah, definitely avoid all tripping hazards. Okay, how about this strategy? If you have a hallway with, like, seven doors, like, eight doors in a row, they're gonna be running through, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what if just one of those doors leads out to, like, a bottomless pit, like a well, and you just, like, you know they're going to go in all the doors running top speed to run away from you. So if you just make one of those a trapped room, you can probably do it that way.
That works.
That works, but they're usually chasing you when they're going through those doors.
No, it usually alternates between, like you'll be chasing some of them, and then someone will be chasing you, and then they'll be chasing...
And then you run across, and you run into each other, yeah. And it's like, oh, no.
At some point, like, you're holding Scooby, and then Shaggy's holding Scooby. So you just gotta make sure that you're chasing them when you chase them into the trap.
Right.
So that's the problem. The problem is, like, narratively, if you set a trap room, it's gonna backfire.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, you're gonna be like, ha-ha! Like, you're gonna mark the trap door as, like, the red door. And you're going to be like, okay, so I know I don't run into that one. And then what's going to happen is, like, there's going to be the red paint that you use to paint the door in the hallway. And they're going to trip over it and paint a different door red. And then suddenly you're going to, you know, mistake the door for the other door and run into your own trap room. And that's how you're going to get caught by the Scooby gang. What about just a gun?
I mean, a gun works.
That'll work.
If you're just a different class of criminal.
Right? Like, you just get it up there with, like, you know, Jason, and they're going to be pretty boned.
Yeah, I'm the scary cowboy, and bang!
Yep.
You just fucking shoot him in the head.
I have a gun. So there's our... We solved it.
I don't know if that's outsmarting them, but it definitely is an effective solution.
So gunning them?
Just be a white-collar criminal. They can't do anything against you.
Oh, yeah.
Bank fraud. Boom. Suck it, Scooby.
Yeah, Scooby's no good at spreadsheets.
Nope.
All right, next question on the list. What if ice didn't melt?
We would have problems.
So, basically, anytime water turns to ice, it's now irreversible.
So, the planet's just going to become a giant ball of ice, right? Eventually.
Well, maybe eventually. So, I guess it would eventually, because you'd have the Arctic freeze. And then when there's wintertime up north, more would freeze. And then it wouldn't melt in the summer, so it could only increase its mass. And it's going to take a while for it to get to the equator, but there's going to be contact freezing.
Yeah, it's going to affect the area right next to it.
So now the whole ocean is frozen over, but it's still 75 degrees.
So it'll probably be like giant piles of ice at the poles, and eventually it'll spread to the equator.
Yeah, exactly. So I'm trying to imagine what we would do now at the equator, where it's still nice out, but like the whole ocean is ice.
That'd be cool. Like, everything's... if there's snow everywhere, but it's warm.
Oh, yeah, because snow is ice also, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's actually kind of annoying because that blows around and shit. Because then snow would, like, just get blown by the wind coming down, too.
Oh, God, yeah.
You wouldn't be able to drive anywhere because you have nowhere to put the snow.
Yeah, you can't just, like, melt like we do now, so.
But you could totally, you would have so much more land because the ice, you can build on the ice now.
Yeah, I guess eventually, yeah, it's not going to, can it still break? I don't know. Eventually it'd get thick enough where it doesn't break.
Yeah, it'll eventually be thick enough that you can, you'll have, you know, a mile of ice that you can build on top of. Oh, and then you can build into the ice. That's how you avoid the snow problem. You build, you dig into the ice.
Well, like ice tunnels in the ocean?
Yeah, the whole ocean, the whole world is a 3D ice tunnel ocean.
You don't have to worry about, you know, yeah, actually, this is actually pretty cool. We live in like a big ant farm now.
Yeah, shit, we should have done this as a main question.
Surprisingly good.
This surprisingly works out. And the temperature would be so much more stable.
It would. We might still die, because I feel like fucking up the ocean is usually a bad move, but...
Probably. And all the plants would probably die.
The plants would definitely die, actually. So we would totally die. But it would be really cool before we did.
You could have plants. You could make some plants. Like, if you make a if you make farms and shit, you just put some soil out.
I guess it's still warm. Yeah, if you, like, if you have a greenhouse or something.
If you dig down underground, you could have underground. You could do, like, fungus.
I guess we could run out of water.
We could run out of water. We would actually...
The water cycle would stop.
Yeah, eventually run out of water.
The water cycle would stop. Okay, so we're dead, but we have a cool ice home.
Yep. Yay.
Next up, what if all vehicles turned into a pumpkin at midnight?
So do they turn back?
They do in Cinderella, right? Or do they? Do they not?
Let's say they turn back. Let's say it's midnight to sunrise. Your vehicle is a pumpkin.
Does it obey daylight savings time and time zones? Or is it like...
Yes, it does. It is local time based on their daylight savings times.
Oh, so it's by time zone. So you can...
Yeah, by time zone.
Theoretically drive across the country and have it be continuous pumpkin.
Yes.
Well, if you have a very fast vehicle, I guess like the one jet that can stay at like... Can you just take a jet fast enough that it stays in the time zone?
Oh, totally. Yeah, definitely.
Okay, so you can actually do air travel. That's cool. You can also do any flight that's less than, like, 16 hours.
Right.
So you can just have a continuous pumpkin going around the world until you run out of fuel.
Oh, no. You have a plane that goes around the world. Once it turns to a pumpkin, it's going to fall out of the sky and crash.
Yeah, I guess it's not going to fly anymore. You could probably work something out where it does fly.
So here's a problem. Say I live in the suburbs, and I leave my pumpkin out during the Halloween season.
Hmm.
What happens to my pumpkin is, well, besides neighborhood kids vandalizing it, animals will go after it. Squirrels and things like to eat pumpkins. And I think the damage to the pumpkin would transfer to the vehicle. Like, if a squirrel chews a hole in your pumpkin, your car has a hole in it in the morning.
So does this mean that, So here's the tricky thing, is that you can put your pumpkin inside for safekeeping, but you're probably going to want to get it out again before sun rises.
So I guess cars with garages are going to be very much more popular.
Yeah.
Because you're going to need a garage, and you're going to need to leave exactly one pumpkin space in the middle of it.
And I'm assuming that, like, the pumpkin is the size of whatever the vehicle was.
No, I think it's a regular pumpkin.
Yeah.
Mine was a regular pumpkin, yeah.
Yeah, I don't imagine a car-shaped size pumpkin. I just imagine, like, a pumpkin.
I feel like there's going to be, like, services where you drop your car off in the evening... And then it's like they, you know, at midnight move all the pumpkins into like a refrigerated facility or something and then bring them all back out like 20 minutes before sunrise.
That could be very dangerous because you can fit a lot of pumpkins into a small area. And then if you forget to do,
it would definitely be like a company that does it that has like a valet staff basically.
God, that's gotta be such an efficient weapon though if you can fill a something with pumpkins.
That is true.
This would actually be great for demolition. So the way you break rocks, like if you're trying to destroy like a lot of rocks to like make a road or something in a mountain, the way you do it, you can use explosives one, but if you wanted to have a more controlled break, what you do is you'll drill a hole or a series of holes and you'll fill it with this material that as it dries it expands, and when it expands the strength of expanding cracks it like water when it freezes.
Mm-hmm.
You can take this to a much bigger scale by drilling a big hole, put a bunch of pumpkins in it at midnight, and then in the morning, you will have very much exploded all that rock. So if vehicles turn to pumpkin at midnight, we could build highways faster through mountains?
Okay.
Yeah, that's a good conclusion.
Yay.
Oh god, what if you eat a pumpkin?
Oh.
Like a pumpkin pie?
Yeah.
If someone makes
I mean, it's not all pumpkins turn to vehicles. You'd have to eat a pumpkin that was once a car.
I guess you just have to make sure you eat all your pumpkins that you eat not at midnight.
Yeah.
You cannot eat pumpkin between midnight and 6 a.m.
Right.
Just in case.
Yeah, because then you could get ruined that way. Okay, so you might... It's actually pretty easy to avoid.
It's like the perfect murder scheme.
It's not a perfect murder. There's going to be a guy with a fucking, like, drive shaft sticking out of his chest. There's going to be a car in the... there's going to be, like, half a car in the bedroom and an exploded guy. It's not going to be hard to figure out what happened.
Right. This is not the...
We've got the license plate, Sarge.
this is not the, like, room with a block of ice and...
Yeah. All right. Next question. What if time went faster when you were having fun? So I know it feels that way, but what if time actually went faster when you were
That'd
having
suck.
Fun?
That'd suck.
So what do we mean by time goes faster?
Is it only for you? Because how would that work relative to other people if other people are having fun and you aren't?
Well, time is already relative, Chris, so...
True.
It still technically works with the physics. So basically, anyone who's not having fun... will be look like they're going much faster than they are. And everyone having a lot of fun is going to be, like, in slow motion.
Wait, isn't it the other way around?
Yeah, I think it's the other way around.
Oh, wait, maybe you're right.
Okay. Yeah, right, that's where I was getting hung
up. Yeah, I was getting really confused.
Yeah. So if you're having fun, you look like you're moving faster. Because you are, because you're having fun. So what this means is if you want to live a long time, you have to live a very boring life.
Right.
Which is already probably true, but...
Yeah, this is just already what happens.
This is just like codifying the actual rules of living. So what do you do in this situation? Do you like?
I think most people would say that they just live a short, fun life.
Yeah. Hey, much like our actual lives.
Does this make sex awkward?
Well,
if one of you let's say
if one of you does not have as much fun, then yeah, it does.
Yeah. If one of you does not have as much fun, you can tell she's faking it because she's going to be going in slow motion.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess you can't really fake your... You can't, like, I don't know.
Pranks are going to be much harder to pull off because you're going to be blazing along like a million miles an hour while somebody else is, like, pouring their coffee.
Yeah, this is true.
You can't really hide your emotions, I guess, from other people.
Yeah, just in general, you can't.
So if you're a company and you want to get the most production done, you need to make your office very fun.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true.
Because if you want your report done by, like, 5 p.m., and it's, like, a boring-ass spreadsheet, the guy's going to have, like, he's going to be so bored. Like, he's going to have, like, an hour of effective time in those 8 hours.
You have to make the actual work fun, though. Like, you can't just put other fun things in your office.
Well, you can do, like, if you took my cubicle and made it a ball pit, I think I would just, on general, have more fun. Like, even if I was still doing the same spreadsheet.
Make it slightly more fun, because you're in a ball pit, but you're still doing the same task.
You would just have to gamify everything, which would be like...
I think creative professions would be a lot more efficient then.
Oh, yeah. There's like a Marvel movie like every week.
Yeah.
And everyone's going to... We're going to go through the actors at a real strong clip.
And for some reason, Suicide Squad took 5 years to make. Hey, topical jokes.
What if you needed like a lot of time to do one thing? So you make everyone bored except for one person that'll be in charge of doing the actual thing.
Oh yeah, you could definitely game this system pretty hard. Speaking of games, what if all sports were played in a pool? Now, admittedly, water polo is not affected.
Yeah, pretty much regular polo, just water polo.
Regular polo is very effective.
Water polo with less healthy horses.
Horses can swim, right? Yeah, they can swim.
Probably not long distance, or for like long periods of time.
Can a horse tread water?
I feel like they can, based on no information.
Okay, horses can swim, and they know how to do it without being taught. So it moves its leg, like doggy paddles. Horses are at risk in the water, though, as they are unable to hold their breath. So if water goes over the horse's head, it will quickly drown.
Hmm.
They definitely can. Apparently, I just found a story from an Australian newspaper about there was a flood, and this guy went with a bunch of horses. His horses treaded water for 7 hours.
That's a pretty long time.
Damn. So, yeah, you could definitely play horse water polo. Yeah. And not only that, they would be very good at it.
16 of their 17. So they had 17 racehorses, and 16 of them survived because they were so fit.
I mean, horses take up a lot of space. So I don't know how many horses you can fit in a pool.
Mm-hmm.
I also don't know how many horses are in a normal game of polo.
Okay, I now want this to exist, though.
Water horse polo?
That's the one.
So other sports other than the obscure polo.
Like hockey doesn't work, right?
Basketball doesn't work.
Basketball can work.
You can't dribble.
Not with a regulation basketball, but you could.
I guess if you like push it really hard down, eventually it'll. If you push it hard enough, it'll reach the ground and it'll just float back up, right?
So here's the thing though, is that you have to dribble because you only take 2 steps.
Oh, you're not taking steps.
So you're not taking steps, and I don't know how you codify what like one unit of swim is.
One stroke.
Okay, so here's my thought on basketball. You ever take like, you know, like you're in the pool and you have a ball and you push the ball all the way to the bottom of the pool and then you wait, you let the buoyancy like shoot it up?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What if that's the only way you're allowed to shoot? And basically the way you shoot high enough to get to score a basket is you kind of have to do like a little bit of a deep dive. So the pool is like deep.
Are you like, can you angle it like that? It only goes straight up, right?
Yeah. So I'm not sure how you aim. So maybe there's like some devices at the surface level that will direct your ball towards the net.
There just has to be someone at the surface ready to punch it when it comes out.
They like slap down on the water as it's leaving, so it like shoots in that direction.
Yeah, that's actually kind of a cool idea. Where you have to go, you basically have the ball, and then you like dive down as fast as you can, and then you have to find like an open lane to the surface that your ball can travel.
It's not really a translation of basketball. That's just we created a new sport.
We did.
It's basketball. You have a basket. You have a basket on top. It looks like a basketball basket. And a basketball. You can do it with a regular basketball. They're pretty buoyant.
Do they get waterlogged if they're in water too long?
Basketballs? No.
I don't think so.
They're a rubber sack.
Yeah.
There's like a hole in it though, right? I don't know.
No, that hole's sealed. So yeah, invented. Actually, I really like this sport idea.
We've created two good sports.
And while we analyze which of these sports is the best, I think we're going to jump into our middle of the podcast break. Hey, everybody. Welcome to the middle bit of the podcast, where I talk about the podcast you're already listening to.
Where we advertise the thing you're already listening to, which is an effective way to do that.
Yeah, we think we are hitting so many new customers and drawing in lots of new faces. With this advertising strategy of ours. But in order to make the show possible, what we need more than anything else is good hypothetical questions.
You're actually running low on questions.
If you, the listener, have a great idea for us to explore and you want to find out what a bunch of stupid engineers can make of your hypothetical situation, send us an email at absurdhypotheticals@gmail.com and we will be more than happy to answer your hypothetical question.
And we'll give you credit if you want the credit.
Mm-hmm. Or if it's a question in your expert field, talk to us about guesting. We'd love to get some actual scientists and actual engineers, or just topic experts.
Yeah.
If you have a hobby that you are super into, we'd love to talk about that. So yeah, send that always over. And when after you've done that, you are allowed to listen to the second half of the podcast, which will start in 3, 2, 1. All right, welcome to the second bit of the podcast, where we do exactly what we did in the first bit of the podcast and answer a bunch more hypothetical questions. And we are going to start off with, what if there was an elephant in every room?
So if you're designing a building, then you'd have to take this into account, right?
Yeah, I feel like you can't really have small rooms all that much anymore.
Yeah, you can't have small rooms, and all the floors would have to be stronger.
That's very true.
Oh, yeah, the weight's a problem. Would elephants be proportional to the room size? Ooh. As much as elephants can be.
As much as elephants. I don't know what the smallest elephant is. It's just a baby elephant.
Yeah, baby elephants are pretty. Well, actually, they're not that small. How big is a baby elephant?
What is the line between a closet and a room?
I don't think I count a closet as a room.
What about a walk-in closet?
Yes.
How big does a closet have to be before it actually is a room? I could also say that, like a broom closet is a room.
I think it depends on, like, the purpose of the room. So a closet is meant for storage, but I guess you can have a storage room.
Mm-hmm. So if I'll do it this way. If a person is supposed to be in that room in its regular use.
I see. So a closet that you walk into and has, like, shelves in it, that's a room. But a closet that just has, like, a hangy thing for your shirts is not a room.
Right. Like, if there's a space for you to stand, it has an elephant in it.
That's reasonable. Okay. Yeah. It's standing there. Not you.
I forgot for a second why we were discussing rooms, and then you just brought up the elephant.
Just like, let's just talk about rooms you're supposed to be in. I don't know why we're talking about anything else. So, baby elephants, the smallest elephants you're going to get, are about 3 feet tall and weigh 200 pounds. That's as small as elephants
get. 3 feet tall. That's smaller than I thought.
That's their back. You know, that's like the leg to back. So they're going to be like, if you're sitting down and you stretch your arm out horizontal, that's about 3 feet.
So tall, you mean like from their feet to the top of their head or lengthwise?
Back. To their back, I believe is how it's measured.
Okay.
Mm.
As we do with most animals. Also, their heads are not really much taller than their backs anyway.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, that's like, so that's going to be like the smallest elephant in like the closet. This is going to be the walking closet elephant, which, oh my God, if I had a little baby elephant that would help like pick out clothes for me to get dressed in, like when I walked in, that would be amazing.
You don't have one baby elephant though. You have like, depending on how many rooms you have like 10 elephants.
Yeah. So the bathroom elephant's going to be awkward.
How do you feed the elephants?
Yeah. Do they just eventually die?
if you're a shitty homeowner. So I think a big part of it is going to be keeping all these elephants alive. Because you cannot have an elephant in your living room that you just watch die over like however many days it takes an elephant to starve to death.
Right.
That would be terrible. So if you are a person, you will take care of your elephant buddy. There's multiple buddies.
I imagine this would be a law.
Oh, yeah. I mean, just like animal cruelty laws.
Yeah.
You gotta take care of your elephants. And also, I feel like you can't just like bring your elephant somewhere else. Like, I think the elephants have to stay in the rooms.
Right. I think if there is no elephant in the room, then another one will appear.
Then what are you going to talk about? So my apartment right now would have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 elephants. That's a lot of elephants. Holy shit.
So does a room have to have... So like my apartment, there's 2 bedrooms, a bathroom, and then one space that's like a kitchen and living room. Is that one room?
I'd say yeah. You can have one.
Yeah, I guess the ideal apartment would be like open concept loft style.
But then you would get a very big elephant.
Oh, I guess if it's proportional to the size of the room, then yeah.
That's true.
Does like Gillette Stadium get like a Lord of the Rings style? Like,
yeah, what about like
elephant or whatever they called them?
Or like warehouses, so like Amazon warehouses or something.
That's a very large elephant. I think the stadium, there would not be one big like middle of the stadium elephant, because I wouldn't call that a room.
Yeah, I wouldn't call that a room either.
Every like box would have an elephant in it.
Can you train an elephant? You can definitely train an elephant to be like a butler of sorts. Like, you can train an elephant to do tasks.
My elephant butler.
So would life now basically just be like every room of your house has a like an elephant assistant?
This sounds good.
All facets of life would revolve around feeding your elephants and training them to do work for you. And you're not actually doing work. You're just taking care of the elephant.
Well, I mean, like, you can take care of... I don't think it would take your whole day to take care of your elephants. Like, you can still live your life and when you come home, you spend, like, an hour feeding all your elephants and whatnot. But, like, you won't have to get up off your couch to, like, get a beer. You can teach an elephant to get you a beer.
I'm sad the elephants can't really, like, hang out. Because they're kind of stuck in their own rooms.
They can hang out the doorways.
I guess doorways... Actually, like, my apartment's kind of nice because the 2 bedrooms have doors that are kind of perpendicular to each other. And then there's a little, like, you know, only, like, maybe 3-foot-long, like, alcove there that leads out into the main room. So all my 3 elephants could, like, hang out together right there. And the bathroom's right there, too, actually. All 4 elephants right there, right next to each other.
I also have a 4-elephant space. Although, maybe it's a 3-elephant space because the hallway to my living room is pretty big, so I'm not sure if my living room elephant would be able to fit down the hallway.
That's a smaller than elephant hallway right there, so it can watch and be sad.
The saddest elephant will be the one in my cat annex.
Oh yeah.
My cat room, as I call it, where they sold it to me as a pantry, but basically it's like little like 5-foot by 5-foot room with nothing in it that's like down a 3-foot hallway from my kitchen. So like there's a door in my kitchen that goes back, and there's like a 3-foot hallway and then like a 5-by-5 room with nothing in it. And so I have like my cat litter in there, but that elephant's going to be sad and lonely because the only room next to that is the kitchen. And that one is, you know, that elephant's, he's gonna be hanging out with the big old living room elephant, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Elephant like receptionist in the lobby is also a very good idea.
That is
what about on like a cruise ship?
Yeah, a lot of elephants.
Are
cruises actually economically viable anymore? Because the crews definitely have to feed their own elephants.
Yeah.
You need a lot of elephant food.
It's going to be a lot of extra weight.
Yeah, I don't think you can do cruises anymore.
I mean, how much do you really need to increase the food on a cruise ship? Because
elephants, they eat a lot, right?
They do eat a lot. They do eat a lot. So, like, I think, like, a cruise ship could handle, like, quadrupling its food supply.
I think it's more than quadruple, though.
Yeah.
So, it's going to be all baby elephants in the staterooms. So, per family, which is, like, four people, you're going to have one baby elephant, which would probably eat as much as a family of four. So you're doubling that for the sitting rooms. And then you have just the function rooms, and that's maybe, like, half the boat. So, and those will be bigger elephants, so double it again. They'll pick four times.
Yeah, I guess.
So adult elephants eat about 300 pounds of food a day.
That is way more than people.
Baby elephants drink up to 3 gallons of milk a day. They drink milk for up to 10 years, so we're going to have to get some elephant milk somewhere.
Okay, so they eat... How do these animals exist? How could they eat this many things?
Apparently, wild elephants spend 16... On average, which is a terrible thing in context, eat for 16 to 18 hours every day.
Fuck. Okay. Feeding your elephants is a much bigger problem.
Yep.
I don't think we need to dive any deeper than that, because I don't want to ruin my idea of elephant butlers in every room of my house. So, next one. What if Earth rotated on a different axis, say 90 degrees from the one it's on now? So instead of rotating with the axis facing the sun, it rotates the other way, I guess. I guess there's two 90s we could pick. The one where it's...
Well, right now the axis isn't it's facing like perpendicular to the sun, right?
Right, so you can turn it 90 degrees towards the sun, or you can turn the axis...
I think towards the sun is more interesting, because the other way, it's kind of similar to how it is now.
Yeah, so if the axis of the Earth, if the Earth, I guess, spins towards the sun, kind of like a ball rolling towards it.
Oh, no, I was thinking, like, if one of the poles pointed towards the sun.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking, too.
Oh, yeah, so I was going to get to that one in a second, because I think that one's more interesting. Yeah. So if it's...
Oh, okay, got it, got it. Yeah.
Yeah, so if it's facing towards the sun and rolling, like, towards it. So if you have... I'm trying to think. If the Earth is a... If the orbit is a hula hoop, it's like a ring around the hula hoop that's spinning around it.
Yeah, it's like a bead on a necklace.
Yes. Yeah. In which case, we would end up, I think, pretty much having the same, except our poles would be on our...
on the sides.
East and west side, and the middle bit spinning around will be our equator.
Yeah, everything else will basically be the same, though, I think.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, everything else will be about the same. The other one is much more interesting, because now the Earth spins, but one side is locked.
Yeah, you have a dark side and a light side of the Earth, and both are pretty equally uninhabitable.
Yeah, because one's going to get super, super hot, one's going to get super, super cold. And even the equator is not going to be great, because the angle of incidence, like, because if sunlight doesn't hit it directly, it's weaker.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So it'll, and where it's habitable, it's going to be, like, cold.
The equator will basically be like the poles are now, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then the back will be even colder than that.
But I think there will be a ring of, like, an area that we can live somewhere. It'll be in between the equator and the side pointing towards the sun.
Yeah, we're going to have, like, 80% uninhabitable Earth right here. Yeah. Anything else interesting happen with this?
Not really. It kind of sucks.
Kind of sucks.
Kind of sucks. Kinda. That's our official seal of kind of sucking.
Hey, guys, what if everyone had X-ray vision?
Like, to what degree of X-ray vision are we saying?
Are we talking like 10-year-old boys dream X-ray vision, or like actual X-rays?
Like medical X-ray. Okay.
We're adults now. We have actual X-ray vision. This is not like, oh, I can see through your top, ladies.
So I think that either way, it winds up being kind of a non-big deal.
What if you had only X-ray vision?
That gets trickier.
If you had no control over it.
Like your vision is in the X-ray spectrum, not in the visible light spectrum. So what can't X-rays see?
Aren't X-rays, like, dangerous?
Yeah.
Hmm.
I'm really... I said, what can't X-ray see? And it's the first Google result is, what things can block X-ray imaging at airport customs?
Don't click that.
Yeah, you're going to show up on a list.
You're on a list now. You're already there. You're already on the list.
Well, X-rays can detect cancer, so we'll catch cancer more often.
Well, we will also literally catch cancer more often because everyone is looking with X-rays. And I guess, like, lead safes will become very popular.
Yeah, everyone's going to have to wear lead clothes.
That seems dangerous and heavy.
What I think is we're missing here, too, is X-rays pass through a lot of stuff. So how much of the world is going to be invisible?
A lot is my scientific decision.
This much.
Like, we're going to make like things a lot more dense just so that we can see them.
Right.
Like, if someone throws a water balloon at you, I don't think you get to see it. I think you just get hit by it. It's, like, literally going to be invisible. So there's going to be a big section of things that we interact with that we can no longer see.
I mean, does that just mean we don't really interact with them?
Yeah, that just means they exist.
No, we're going to physically interact with them. Like, if I throw a water balloon at you, it's going to hit you and splash
you. But you're not going to be able to throw the water balloon because you can't see it.
I could feel it.
You actually have to make... Throwing a water balloon involves finding a balloon and filling it up with water and then tying it. If you can't see it, it's not going to happen.
I could manage. Like, you could do it by touch.
I guess you could.
There's gonna be a lot of this is just one example, Chris, of something that would affect you that you can't see. Because basically, the nice thing about having light vision is basically anything that is solid enough to impact us, we can see because light bounces off it. But X-rays don't necessarily bounce off everything.
Do we have more specifics about what we would be able to see and what we can't?
I think it's density based. So there's just a density threshold.
So like paper, we won't be able to see.
That puts a damper on a lot of things. We can't see our X-ray results anymore.
Oh no. Well, yeah, we can. We don't need a machine to do it.
Always see our X-ray results.
Yeah.
All results are X-ray results.
Alright, I think that's as far as we're going with that one.
Yep.
Ah, here's a question up my alley. What if the ocean was a giant ball pit?
Everything is way more fun.
Until we die of dehydration.
Oh god, imagine like a tsunami.
Oh yeah, tsunami's so good.
The thing is...
Actually, no, much better than that is a water spout.
Actually, much better than that is... No, water spout is the best, you're right.
Because it's just going to be a giant swirl, and you're like, what's that? And you get pelted by little plastic balls. And it probably wouldn't even hurt so bad. It's just going to be really, really annoying.
The thing is, would you... You probably wouldn't float on top of the surface. You just sink to the bottom, and you get lost in the ball pit.
I think there's enough balls. There's enough balls that they'll be densely packed enough as you go down that you'll be able to stay on top of it, I think.
How far can you sink into a ball pit?
I've never really tried to stay in a ball pit that doesn't have a ground that you can stand on.
Also, man, Marcus, the FBI is going to be so confused.
What is he planning?
So someone posted on Reddit, Ask Reddit, could you easily get out of a mega-sized ball pit as there's no solid surface? Blah, 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 blah. First response, there's a huge foam pit at the gym where we had my daughter's second birthday party. My mom and sister got really stuck for a long time. It was hilarious. We got them out with a rope.
So it's not easy.
So is it worse to be lost at sea in a regular ocean or a ball pit ocean?
So I think you could probably distribute your weight enough at some point. I guess at a certain point, the weight of all the balls would crush...
Yeah, at the bottom, because the balls are hollow.
Mm-hmm.
So on the very bottom of the ocean, they'll all crush, and they'll be like densely packed at the bottom.
They are very light, though. They are very light.
Yeah, though. But the ocean is super deep.
Yeah, the ocean is very big. I forgot. Sorry, I forgot the ocean's very big.
Yeah, first rule of podcasting, the ocean is big. Not just our podcast, all podcasts.
All podcasts must be aware that the ocean is big.
I mean, the bottom of the ocean doesn't really affect us. It's the surface that we're concerned about. That's the only part we're going to be interacting with.
So the problem is if you fall in this ocean, you're going to go pretty deep, I think, before you get stopped. Especially if you don't spread out.
You can still quickly like breathe, though, and stuff.
Yeah. But you have to get out.
You have to get out somehow.
I think you have to go horizontal and like swim your way up. I think that's how you would do it.
I just don't know how like difficult it is to swim in a ball pit.
It'll be hard.
Yeah, in my mind, it seems pretty hard.
Because you don't have a buoyancy advantage anymore.
You don't have a buoyancy advantage, and the balls are pretty smooth, so they, like, slide off of each other and stuff. They don't, like, interlock.
It would be awesome, though.
It would.
What if you had a ball pit shark? Like, what if we just ignore the fact that the fish could not live in the ball pit, and they could magically fly, you know, swim through all the balls?
Like, this is how Earth developed and they adapted to the ball pit.
Yeah, they have become one with the ball pit. Like they have pockets in their skin to catch all the balls so they don't sink when they don't want to.
They have like ball pit gills.
Yeah, they allow them to breathe balls.
Actually, no. This is how it works. I just love it. So the skin, basically, you would have pockets, like ball sized pockets on the skin. And if you don't want to sink, you would have them. They would be concave and they would catch all the balls, and then you would stop because you'd make a big flat surface. And then when you want to dive, those pockets would bulge out, and now you push the balls out, and then you can sink now because you're pushing. Now you yourself are a rounded surface.
I don't like the image of ball-sized pockets in your skin.
I don't. I also just don't like the term ball-sized pockets.
All my pants have ball-sized pockets.
No.
All right, let's go on to the next question. What if you could only walk backwards?
This is interesting.
I guess you could just wear those, like, those spy glasses that have the mirrors on the side.
Yeah, I was thinking about, like a shoulder-mounted one, but yeah. People definitely have mirrors.
You guys are cleverer than me. I'm just like, I'm going to get a nasty crick in my neck.
That is also an option, but let's go with mirrors.
You would never see vampires.
You would... Vampires are the ultimate predator.
Because they don't exist.
Shh, you don't know that. You're insulting our vampire listeners.
Well, I guess you could also just, like, look... I feel like even if you have the mirrors, you would look over your shoulder on occasion. So yeah. It's not like you have only mirror vision.
Or you could go high-tech and just have a camera on the back of your head.
I feel like the delay would get really annoying.
Yeah, that's true, I guess.
Wow, is that really it for this question?
No, there's got to be something.
Walking backwards. Stairs.
Okay, so stairs would be annoying, but not insurmountable.
Yeah, you just go slower.
Yeah. Here's an important question, just based more on like the wording. It says you can only walk backwards. Can you run forwards?
I think no. I think you have to run backwards too.
I would assume so as well, but I just wanted to get some clarity on this.
So you're just like, you're like walking backwards, like, oh shit, I gotta hurry, and you just like pivot and sprint.
Yep. Okay, so as a follow-up for that, in that case then, the Olympics are hilarious. And most sports in general, actually.
Actually, walking, the speed walking in Olympics is already hilarious.
It's even funnier now.
Soccer. What would hurdles. Soccer be like?
Hurdles.
Backflip hurdles, hell yeah.
Yeah, soccer would be tricky. God, the goalie would have to be on point.
Okay, what about warfare? If you have like some old, you know, colonial armies that need to like just basically face off against each other and shoot each other, you march, stop, turn around, shoot, and then turn around again to march and try to get out of the way.
Hope that someone is there.
You're smarter than I am, because I was expecting all of them to shoot while still facing backwards.
It's also an option. It's I guess really you have not. To pick. You have to pick, you know, accuracy over timing, speed over accuracy.
I don't think like resting a musket on your shoulder and like pulling the trigger and having it like blow forwards is necessarily the best option.
I mean, about face would become a much more popular command for them to shout out.
It would. I feel like walking dogs gets tricky.
So can dogs walk forward?
Actually, I don't know. Are animals bound by our bizarre laws?
I'm going to say no, but I think there's also some animals that literally cannot walk backwards, which would be kind of funny.
Oh, that is true, I think, yeah.
I don't know, I'm happy enough with the mental image of the turnaround, spin-around warfare.
Yeah.
The hokey pokies, as they call them. So... Next question. Another weird one. Who puts these on here?
This one's mine.
What if your eyes... What if your eyes were on the bottom of your feet?
I have an answer for this. Oh, I also got to hit my microphone. I have an answer for this.
If you're exactly as smart as me, is it handstands?
No. I think everyone has very, very, like, jacked calves. Because you're basically going to walk places. And as you're walking, you're going to be like moving your feet in weird ways so you can actually still see kind of where you're going. And anytime you stop moving, you're going to stand on one foot and like pivot your other foot around to keep situational awareness.
So you're probably still going to go backwards, but now you're going to do it hopping on one foot. Because I think the most natural position is just to have like your one leg like bent at the knee facing, you know, and a little bit up as if you had just, you know,
right.
Kissed a very handsome gentleman. And then you're just going to hop that way.
I mean, you could just use wheelchairs.
Oh, yeah,
that's an easy solution.
I do like the idea of people in wheelchairs with their legs straight out.
Yeah.
Like a snail, like looking around with like eye stalks.
You could also, so you could walk and be Spain as you walk. So you always have like one leg up. It doesn't. I have no way to describe this. I can see it in my mind.
I think you would get dizzy.
You would probably get dizzy.
Get dizzy.
The other thing, too, is that no one wears shoes. That's kind of the other outcome of this.
And I'm not really sure if you have, like, eyelids on your feet or not, if you can blink.
I would hope so.
Yeah, I would say yes. Okay. God, yes. Fucking Chris. No, you can have shoes. So you'd have shoes. You'd have shoes like phone cases with cutouts.
That takes away so much peripheral vision, though.
Not so much. You make them thin around the eye part. Okay,
so look at your feet. Where is the eye?
I would say, like, center.
Center?
Center in the heel.
It's like in the arch there?
Not in the heel. Like, center of the arch. Sole. That's the word.
Okay. Fair enough.
I'm not going to look at my foot anymore because I don't want to imagine an eye there.
It's too late for me.
Soccer would be fun.
Soccer would be fun is a running theme of these questions.
Also, like, a day, like, you could not go to the beach.
Oh, God.
Oh, yeah. I mean, if you put, like, special shoes on, like goggle shoes.
You would have goggle shoes. You're right.
Goggle shoes would be so good. Actually, yeah, that's it. That's the perfect solution. Yep. Goggle shoes.
Okay, here's another important question that I don't want to think about, but I just did, so you have to now, too. What do our faces look like now?
There's feet on them.
The toes where the eyebrows are.
Oh, wait, also, okay, eating gets really hard, right?
Oh, yeah, because you can't really see your face.
I think you can only eat things you can hold in your hands. You can't use, like, fork and knife anymore.
Okay, so here's an alternate solution, because I said it in the beginning, but I think another way of traveling might just be to get good at handstands. Because if you're handstanding, and then your legs are up, and then you let your feet fall at the knees, like you let your legs droop at the knees, mm-hmm. you are now in a bipedal shape.
But then you don't have hands to, like, hold stuff.
Yeah, I mean, there's going to be sacrifices that have to be made here, Chris. I mean, I feel like that would be the quote-unquote most natural position to walk around in.
I guess.
It'll take a while to build up arm strength. But we'll get it done.
Yeah, I mean, people do handstands for very long. There's handstand races.
Not for the average person.
Well, yeah, but I mean, like, once everyone is this... like, if handstands are fucking required, you're going to learn how to do it.
10 years down the future.
Mm-hmm.
Once we've adapted.
I think I could learn how to do a handstand in less than 10 years.
Can you go upstairs on your hands?
In 10 years, hell yeah. I think I could do a handstand. If I needed, like, if it was my mode of transportation, I think I could learn how to do a handstand and walk around in, like, 6 months.
Also, one of the challenging things that a lot of people doing handstands face, I think, is, like, facing their head up so they can see, but they don't have to do that anymore.
Yeah, see? So you're actually, like, already more balanced.
So you can use your head for support.
Perfect. Your head is just a counterbalance.
You'll have a shoe on your head, probably, to protect your head.
Hand shoes and head shoes.
Goggle shoes and a head shoe.
Isn't that just a hat? Isn't a head shoe just a hat?
It's just a helmet, basically. Yeah. It has to be grippy, though, so that you can actually, like, so you don't slip around.
Are women going to have high heels for hands?
I thought you were going to say, are they going to have high heel helmets?
Either or. Well, you have to pair it. You have to match your shoes.
Yeah.
Because that's going to require some arm strength.
Well, then all the weight's going to go down to your fingers, right?
I don't fucking know.
I've never worn heels, so I don't know.
Yeah, I think we've gone as far as we're going on this one.
Yep.
So I think that leaves us with time for one more question, which will be, what if the food chain was reversed?
So we would be in trouble.
Yeah, we'd be very much in trouble.
And hamburgers would rule the world.
What does that mean for, like, plants?
Well, we already did it. We did an episode once where we decided if all plants were carnivorous.
Yeah.
But let's keep it just animals.
Okay.
So I think the terrifying thing about the food chain being reversed is that now it goes from, hey, I am one, you know, for animals, we'll talk about humans, I guess, in a second, but for animals, it's like, hey, I am one in a herd and I just need to kind of blend into the crowd so I don't get eaten by the big thing. Now it's going to be, I am the big thing. I am all alone. And this whole herd is going to come and try and eat me.
Yeah.
Pretty much by definition, you are horrendously outnumbered. But
the thing is, then the herd, they're not going to have enough food to go around.
Yeah, so it's going to get competitive. But you're bigger, so you can feed more of the herd.
That's true.
What animal gets the worst end of the stick, as we say?
Us.
Okay, yes, us. Animal. Not like not counting humans. I want to get to humans in a second.
Like lions or something.
Ooh, anteater. That's not fun.
Anteater's not good. Anteater's pretty bad.
Or like a shark or whale.
Actually, no, whale.
Ooh, no. Whales are the most terrifying. Because now the plankton, so much plankton. Plankton will rule the seas.
Yep.
Yeah.
Krill and plankton will eat all the things in the ocean.
Yeah, basically, they're just going to be the only thing in the ocean now.
God, that's scary.
Yep.
I don't like that mental image. Let's talk about humans. What are my biggest threats right now in this room?
What do we eat?
We eat chickens and cows.
Yeah, a lot of the things that we eat aren't really things we're exposed to all the time.
This is good. We might not all be dead.
Well, the farmers would be in trouble.
Farmers would definitely be in trouble.
But even if like all your chickens that you have locked in cages would try to eat you, I think you could still avoid them.
Cows are a bigger problem than chickens. And God, pigs.
I mean, the food chain is the way it is because like animals at the top of the food chain have the ability to kill the lower animals. We're not saying that that ability goes away. We're just saying that the instinct switches, right?
Or and that they have the ability to eat, like they have the ability to digest and eat us for nutrition. Mm-hmm. Like
okay, but like cows aren't going to change.
A krill cannot like right as now like digest a whale, but we can say it does. It gets a little mouth and it goes nom, nom,
nom, nom, nom. But cows aren't, or like chickens aren't going to change to be able to like kill us.
A chicken could kill you if it tried.
Yeah, chickens can, like, a group of chickens could take you down.
Yeah, but if we're actually trying to defend ourselves, you'd need a lot of chickens.
Yeah, we would basically be at, I mean, there's a lot of things that would eat humans anyway, like predators. Mm-hmm. What's going to be the more problematic is the little stuff, like,
ants?
Like, when you go to sleep at night, yeah, like, ants, when you go to sleep at night, if you're in, say, like, a, like, African jungle or something, they have, like, those nets to keep all the bugs out because you'll get, you know, eaten alive, like, you know, quote-unquote eaten alive by mosquitoes and bugs. But that's going to be a bit more literal now.
Wait, hold on. Does this mean that we eat mosquitoes now?
Oh, yeah.
Does it loop back around?
What do we eat? I mean, things at the bottom of the food chain basically just eat plants, right?
Omnivores are tricky. This is getting into, confusing territory.
As do a lot of our questions.
Yay.
I want to stick on how do I prevent myself from getting eaten by bugs in my house or when I'm out and about.
Well, we already have like technology that handles that with like the nets that you were mentioning.
Yeah, so you have the nets, so that's good. So now I walk outside and I go to the shopping center in the suburb, and as I'm walking on down the sidewalk, like 40,000 pigeons come and descend upon me. And we are now in the movie The Birds.
You are the bread that's been scattered on the sidewalk.
You are the popcorn. You are the old lady's popcorn.
All the pigeons, all the squirrels, all the chipmunks.
Yeah, there's a lot of small, quick animals that tend to ignore us that are not going to ignore us anymore.
I don't really think there's a way we can survive just based on like the number of animals there are.
Yeah, it's gonna definitely be tricky. Not everything is after us. Pest control, though, much more lucrative career.
This is true.
If you're gonna be a exterminator, is the word. If you're gonna be an exterminator, you have much more job security than you might otherwise. Job safety less, job security way more. And I think killing everybody by eating them with all the animals in the food chain is a pretty standard place for us to end our podcast.
Yeah, all the people die, and then krill and plankton rule the world.
Yeah, that's pretty good. Yeah. So that'll do it for this week. You can join us next week where we answer the following questions. What if every plant grew as fast as bamboo? And what if you had a pet dinosaur?